In today's gospel, Christ reveals the fullness of his identity in his transfiguration. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son, listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Leonardo da Vinci was one of the great early Renaissance artists in the early 1500s. We know his work probably best by his version of The Last Supper. Remember that painting he did of the long table with all the apostles and Christ in the middle holding up the bread and wine? There's an interesting story told about da Vinci's painting of that picture. His goal in painting the picture was to have everybody focus on the person of Christ. When you look at it, you notice all the apostles' faces are turned toward Christ in that painting. He wanted people looking at it to focus on Christ. When he finished the painting, he decided he was going to put down in one corner of it, way down in the corner, a ship. The ship would represent the church, the bark of Peter. So he spent a couple of weeks painting this very elaborate, detailed ship down in the corner. So the day came for the opening of the exposition. He was going to show the painting, and people came and looked at it, admired it. They loved it. But he heard a lot of comments about the ship. People were very much attracted to that ship because it was so detailed and so ornate and just so marvelous. They were attracted by that. And apparently, as the story goes, when the exposition closed that day, he took a paintbrush and painted the ship out, painted it out, because he didn't want anybody not focusing on Jesus. He wanted them to focus on Jesus alone, so he painted out the ship. Interesting story that throws into focus a bit, I think, today's gospel. We see Christ transfigured up on the mountain, the fullness of his being revealed. And we notice there that who appears with him but Moses and Elijah? Now, they'd been long dead, of course. Moses, the great lawgiver for the Israelite people. Elijah, the greatest of the prophets. They summarized in many ways the whole of the covenant that God made with Abraham, the whole of the covenant that he made with the Israelite people, summarized in Moses and in Elijah. And then, of course, this cloud comes down. Now, remember when Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments? How did God reveal his presence? In a cloud. People down below saw the cloud descend on the mountain, God's presence. And here on the Mount of Transfiguration, what happens again? The cloud comes, presence of God, and envelops Jesus and Moses and Elijah. But then from the cloud comes the voice. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." listen to him. When the cloud disappears, so do Moses and Elijah. All that's left is Jesus alone. Now, what does that symbolize? It symbolizes that the law and the prophets, good as they were, all were all meant to point to Jesus himself. They were all leading up to Jesus. You know, Jesus himself says, I've not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. So when Jesus is left alone there and we hear that voice, listen to him, means that everything before him has been pointing to him, and Jesus now alone becomes the reference point for God. Jesus alone is the center, the foundation of God's relationship with his people. Now, that's very important for us to understand, because we live in a world where we're constantly being bombarded by voices telling us what to believe, how to believe it, what to do, what's true, what's not true. How many people every day do you think watch the talking heads on the news channels? MSNBC, Fox News, CNN. You listen to those people telling us what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's good, what's bad. And of course, you know, when you listen to them, one station to the other, you don't know who's telling the truth. They tell totally different stories. Why should you believe one rather than the other? That's a story for another time, a discussion for another time. But be that as it may, no matter which of those stations you might listen to, the point for us is this. Whatever those people say, whatever reality they think that you're holding up to us, we've got to judge that first by Christ. They might be saying something good. They might be telling us something true. We've got to judge it all by Christ. We don't just take their word for it. We judge it all by what Christ in his teaching reveals to us. Let me give you an example of what that means. That's not that far removed from our own day, just a couple generations back. In 1907, in the little Austrian town of St. Radamund, there was born a baby boy that was given the name Franz Jagerstatter. That was his name, Franz Jagerstatter. St. Radamund is kind of a backwater town, farming community, out in the middle of nowhere. Franz himself grew up to be a farmer. Didn't have a lot of formal education. Very, very devout Catholic, though. Became the sexton of the little church in St. Radamund. Married, three little girls. In 1937, the German armies marched into Austria and took over Austria. Made Austria part of the Third Reich. And as soon as they did that, they passed a law. All able-bodied Austrian young men of a certain age had to join the army. Most of them did. Most Austrian young men did. Franz Jagerstatter refused to join the army, the Nazi army. Why? He could not reconcile his faith in Christ with the doctrines of National Socialism. He couldn't reconcile his Catholic faith with the Nazi policies. So he would not fight for the Nazis. He volunteered to go into the army as a medic, but he wouldn't fight. He wouldn't kill for the Nazi doctrines. That was unacceptable to the Nazis. So they put him into jail because they didn't want him to become an example to other people. Put him into jail, told him he would stay there until such time as he joined the army and fought. Well, he refused. Family came to him, friends came to him, even his parish priest came to him and said, look, Franz, you don't have to believe what they believe. Just join for your own sake and the sake of your family and, you know, lay low. But he couldn't do it. Wouldn't compromise his faith in Christ for fighting for the Nazis. Finally, they gave him one last chance, one last choice, because he was becoming a little bit of a cause celebre. Once again, he refused. So one day, they took him out into the main square of the town and beheaded him, chopped his head off. In 2007, Pope Benedict XVI declared Franz Jagerstatter a martyr. a martyr of the church, a martyr for Christ. It was very controversial when the Pope did that because, you know, many Austrian men who had fought in the war, who had actually signed up and fought for whatever reason, they were still alive. What did that say about them when he made Franz Jagerstatter a martyr? But he did. Today in that little cemetery in St. Ragamund is the grave of Franz Jagerstatter, martyr, who listened to Christ first, focused on Christ first before anything else. His feast day is May 21st, the day he was baptized. Franz Jagerstatter, martyr, listened to Christ before he listened to anybody else and acted on that. Listen to him. That has to be the way for you and me too. You know, not that we have to necessarily die. Hopefully we never will. But it means we don't judge anything without putting it at the feet of Christ and asking, what does this mean, Lord? What does this mean? What is this activity, this policy, this government policy, this policy? How does that all square with your gospel? Christ first. Listen to him first. You all know what an oxymoron is, right? An oxymoron is a phrase or a word that is self-contradictory. The word oxymoron comes from the Greek, from two Greek words. Oxy, which means sharp, and moron, which means dull. Something can't be sharp and dull at the same time. Oxymoron. One of the most famous oxymorons we use all the time is a deafening silence. We say it's a deafening silence. Well, how can a silence be deafening? It doesn't make any sense, really, looking at the words themselves, but we know what it means. Well, here's the point. We have to be careful that you and I don't become walking oxymorons who declare our faith in Christ, but then live and walk in a different way. Unchristian Christians, what sense would that be? Listen to him. Today, my brothers and sisters, on this church, the cloud descends once again. The cloud descends here. And from that cloud, we hear the voice, or should, listen to him. May God bless you.